Welcome to the Home Study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute at homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Ethical Dilemmas in the Use of Clients' Repressed Memories. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Catherine Appleton, and I'll be the narrator of this CD. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., regarding dealing with the ethical use of repressed memories. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content-dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer book are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purposes of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapist. However, don't let this term deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is director of nursing, speech therapist, audiologist, social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is more meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapist cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor or nursing assistant, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD, we will discuss such topics as false memories, convinced clients, both sides of the debate, group mentality, New Age mentality, neo-feminist environment, and the accused innocent. So, let's get started. On the rest of this track, we will examine how false memories may be generated. We will also discuss how ethical factors regarding the client's right to self-determination need to be kept in the foreground when you suspect a client may be under the influence of false memories and the subsequent ethical dilemmas. As you may have observed, as I have, clients tend to reform their past to match their current attitudes and opinions. As Bartlett remarked in his book, Remembering, a Study in Experimental and Social Psychology, the need to rework our past is essential. The struggle to get somewhere, the very play of doubt, hesitation, satisfaction, and the like, and the eventual build-up of the complete story, accompanied by the more and more confident advance in a certain direction. Beth, age 22, constructed a memory by fabricating a short descriptive story about her father abusing her in her crib. After she finished her description, her reaction was so severe that she was convinced that the story must be rooted in truth. Beth stated, "I began to scream and curse and cry. The feelings that came up for me were so intense, I felt they must be grounded in some reality." However, Bartlett goes on to explain that the course of description, when images abound, is apt to be more exciting, more varied, more rich, and more jerky. Beth was reacting to the images she had formulated, not to an actual event that occurred in her past. However, because her intent was to discover whether or not she had been abused, she was unintentionally already looking for evidence. As you know, detailed literature can be a lucrative stimulant to create false memories. Books such as Repressed Memories, A Journey to Recover from Sexual Abuse, include several chapters just on descriptions of sexual abuse and also contains several exercises on recovering repressed memories. Here are the steps a client might go through to create a false memory. Step 1 is when the client reads these, their mind may soon be filled to the brim with images of abuse. Step 2, they may dwell on these images for days and nights. Step 3, soon the receptive client may begin to unintentionally visualize themselves in that position. Step 4, the next thought is, what if I was really abused? I wouldn't have these awful thoughts if I were a normal, healthy person. And finally, step 5, after reading the content, dwelling on the images, creating visualizations, and questioning abuse reality, the fifth step is self-analyzing that excludes other options. By self-analyzing themselves before considering other options, they have excluded all other thinking and are ceasing to use reason and rely on their own memories. Many of the exercises found in self-help sexual abuse books can actually be a form of hypnosis, causing the reader to put themselves in a more susceptible state of relaxation, in which the author suggests that the reader imagines what might have happened to them. Such an almost self-hypnosis type of experience can leave a client extremely vulnerable to suggestion. If their mind is trying to imagine something, and they do, many times clients interpret this as a truth reflecting past experiences, when really it might just have been a result of the susceptible state they were in. This is one of the examples of how allegedly false memories are generated. It is the ethical responsibility of the therapist to make sure that he or she does not accidentally exploit this very manipulative state of the client's mind. As addressed in the American Psychological Association Code of Ethics, Section 5.05, testimonies. Psychologists do not solicit testimonies from current therapy clients or patients, or other persons who, because of their particular circumstances, are vulnerable to undue influences. By misleading the client into believing he or she was a victim, the therapist clearly has broken this code. But the obvious dilemma is, short of having a crystal ball, how does a therapist know whether the alleged memories are real or false? One of the greatest difficulties in recovered memories is the fact that the actual process has not been proven valid or invalid. Most of the time, it is impossible to corroborate either survivors' memories of incest or their parents' anguished details. When all is said and done, both sides can only hold on to a belief that memory regeneration is valid and a competent means of therapy. Because of this, one school of thought is that it is essential that all memory generation not be induced in the therapy session at any time due to the risk of false memories and quite possibly emotionally injuring the client even further. But is this realistic? Which creates another dilemma. 5 ethics assessment points to keep in mind when considering recovering a client's so-called repressed memories are: Number one, is there any other possibility or explanation for the client's behavior? Number two, have they been under the influence of graphic literature, films, or other stimuli? Number three, are they already in a state of vulnerability? Number four, have you or a colleague suggested to the client that he or she may be the victim of childhood sexual abuse? And number five, by using methods such as hypnosis or recovered repressed memories, can you possibly be only placing false memories into a client's subconscious? So, what do you do when you believe a client has been negatively influenced by external forces? At the other end of the spectrum, obviously, one thing is to keep in mind, of course, not to completely rule out a client's suggestions of sexual abuse. By doing this, you may not only isolate the client, but degrade him or her to the status equal to the child telling far-fetched stories. Essentially, the therapist who does this has taken away the client's right to self-determination. Standard 1.02 is the NASW Code of Ethics states, social workers respect and promote the rights of the client to self-determination and assist clients in their efforts to identify and clarify their goals. Social workers may limit clients' rights of self-determination when, in the social worker's professional judgment, a client's actions or potential actions pose a serious, foreseeable, and imminent risk to themselves or others. In this track, we have discussed how false memories may be generated, the various ethical issues to keep in mind when you suspect a client may be under the influence of false memories, and the subsequent ethical dilemmas. On the next track, we will examine difficulties in determining whether or not a client has fabricated a memory. Question 1. What are 5 steps a client may go through in the generation of a false sexual abuse memory?